Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Greg Chandler from Esoteric, and you're listening to the Brutally Delicious Podcast.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Is it cold and rainy over there?
Yes, as usual.
That's so funny. I know we're just getting started here, and it's nice to meet you, but do you think that's why so many great doom metal bands come from, I don't know, that portion of England? I mean, you've got like My Dying Bride and Paradise Lost, and there's Ahab, I think, is from over there.
Ahab are German, but okay. Yeah, there are a lot of good, a lot of great British doom bands, and yeah, possibly to do with the weather.
That's funny.
It stays wet and cold for a long time.
Is it like that most of the year?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we have a slight reprieve in the summer. The summers can still be a bit wet, actually, but right. Generally we get not a bit of warmth for like 3 or 4 months between May, June, September.
Gotcha. So let's talk about Esoteric anyway. That's why we're here, right? Yeah. So just doing some research, did you ever imagine you'd be making relevant music and releasing new stuff, what, you're 3 decades in or more?
Not really, no. We didn't really have any kind of ideas of how things would go when we first started the band. We just started off by doing music we wanted to make, really. We didn't kind of foresee ourselves as having any kind of success, and that wasn't really important to us either. I mean, we knew the music that we were doing was always going to be very niche and kind of underground. So,
but were you surprised then when it kind of caught on, even to that small amount of core followers?
I think so. Yeah, because it was probably. When we first started, the reaction to our music wasn't the best. You know, it wasn't particularly positive. There were some people that liked the fact we were doing something different, especially for the time, because it was near the start of the extreme metal scene where everyone was trying to go faster and faster, and we were kind of going in the opposite direction. So,
I'm not familiar with the early days of you guys. So you started with the heavier black metal-y stuff?
No, we started with Doom.
Okay. And then kind of worked your way.
Yeah. I mean, we always had the odd snippet of a fast bit in our songs here and there, but it was pretty much slow throughout.
Cause I think going back and listening from my end, I definitely pick up elements of black metal in there, or like you said, maybe just extreme metal.
Yeah. There's always been elements of different genres in our sound, like death metal, black metal, industrial, some elements of post rock and ambient and psychedelic music as well.
Can I ask you a question? This has nothing to do with Esoteric, but this term comes up a lot. I'm curious, what the heck is post rock?
Post rock.
I hear post metal. Post. I don't understand what that means. It's post.
Yeah. I don't really understand what the genre means as such. I just see it being attributed. For me, genres aren't particularly important. They're just like a very quick way to describe a band to someone that's never heard them.
Gotcha. Okay. So going back to...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, sorry.
I attribute post-rock to bands like Godspeed, You Black Emperor, stuff like that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's get to Esoteric. Are you guys working on anything new? I mean, 2019 was Pyrrhic Existence, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're working on new material at the moment in between shows. Actually, after the summer, we're going to be doing no shows for the rest of the year, or at least we're not planning on doing any more shows for the rest of the year, so that we can just knuckle down and work more solidly on new material, because it's quite difficult to be doing tours and rehearsing for gigs, as well as spending a lot of time on rehearsing new songs and writing. So we're going to take a bit of a break from live shows to just write for a while.
So have you guys been writing all along, and then you're going to assemble the ideas later on in the studio, or are you just going to get together with the intent to just write?
Basically, we have been writing as things have gone. In terms of what's happened with the band since the last album, we actually had two long-term members leave after we released the last album. So okay. We've taken quite a bit of time to find the right replacements, and had a bit of back and forth with that. We had one guy join and then leave again. And so writing has kind of gone one step forward, one step backwards almost for a while. And we've discarded some material that we had with past members and so on. So we're making some progress though, slowly.
Difficult is it to find new, I guess, brothers or part of the family, right? Because that's essentially mm-hmm. what you are if you're going to be hitting the road and locked up in a van or Sprinter.
Yeah, it is quite hard to find suitable people, because you don't just need someone with technical ability and someone who understands the kind of thing that we do and the way that we use and integrate effects and sounds and ambience. That's quite challenging, because not a lot of bands do that kind of thing. So we had to find people that were very familiar with programming sounds and effects and so on.
But you also have to get along with them too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's actually probably the most important thing, because you're going to be in close quarters with people, and when you're all sleep deprived and stressed and
and you can have the most technical player in the world, if he's an asshole, it's not going to work.
No, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to have those new guys? They're going to be contributing to the writing, or you going?
Yeah, they already are. So. Yeah, it's going well so far. We just need a bit of respite from tours and planning and so on for live shows, just to really focus 100% on new stuff and keep moving forward with that more quickly.
So you guys are on the. You said I've heard you say a couple times you're on the playing a lot of shows. You guys are pretty busy this spring.
Yeah, we've got a US tour planned. We've got a show with Bellwitch in April in London. We've just done a show this weekend, just gone. It was Celestial Darkness Festival in London. And we also have a show planned with Ahab and Skepticism in June. And that's going to be a good show. We've arranged that with Paola from Funeral Mankind. Mm-hmm. And we've got a US tour coming up in May. Finishing with Maryland Death Fest.
Oh, that's great. I'm actually going to be there. Do you know what day you're playing?
The 23rd.
Hello out there. Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Okay, yeah, I'm actually going to be there. I think I have to skip the last day for my son's graduation, but I'm going to be there for sure.
Okay,
I'm about an hour from it. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a good show. And actually, you've got good company, right? My Dying Bride, we talked about them. They're there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have been playing as well. And I think Grave Miasma, quite a lot of... Well, I mean, the lineup's just absolutely stacked, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. Have you ever been?
Amazing bands. No, unfortunately not. So this will be the first time for me.
I feel ashamed. I live an hour away, and every year I say I'm going to go. I even bought tickets a couple times, and then life happens, and I just don't get there. But
yeah,
this year I've kind of zoned in and said, all right, these first few days, I'm definitely going up there, and then we'll go, you know, take it off cool. from there. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys manage life and touring and everything all at the same time if you're playing this many shows? It's got
to
be tough, right?
I mean, we're not doing a huge amount of shows compared to some bands who are earning any kind of income from what they do. But we're doing pretty much as many as we can do with the holidays that we can spare.
You mean you're not millionaires from the road?
No. more likely to be destitute than millionaires, that's for sure.
Right. I mean, the whole music business has changed, right? I mean, I see people canceling tours because of, you know, petrol prices or diesel prices or whatever, but they're canceling tours because promoters have their hands in the merch, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, and it makes it. And then you guys have Brexit too, right? If you leave.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. That doesn't really make any difference to us coming to the US, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Just in Europe.
Yeah. Just Europe really. But it's not too, the pandemic kind of masked, the transition, but yeah, there's more bureaucracy involved in touring in Europe now compared to
and more money.
And more money, of course, but it's the same wherever you go. For example, coming to the US, we have to hire agents for to deal with the tax implications and so on. And it's difficult wherever you go, to be honest.
Right. And then once you're here, you're set forward, right? You just go and then go back, no issues. You just got to get your work
permit. We've applied for visas and we should be getting those very soon. And we've basically ticked all the boxes that we need to tick.
So what does it make you feel like then when you're up on stage and playing an esoteric song, even some of your biggest hits, right? Or some of your older ones, like I think the Pernicious Enigma. What does it make you feel like when that comes to live in front of an audience and they get it, like the way you decided to write it, or the way you anticipated it when it was written?
It's just a really good feeling, to be honest, to play live, to kind of have a connection with the audience and to see that they're into it. And obviously we're a slow band, so it's not the most kind of like chaotic, chaotic performance, but we do tend to use visuals, where possible. We have like graphics displays and stuff to accompany the show, and we just try to create, put everything into the music, create a good atmosphere, and pour the emotion out.
Do you feel like you have to work harder than a high energy, I don't know, say death metal band or even a rock and roll band, because the crowd is not that active and there's not that many swirling pits or anything like that? Or not really?
Not really, no. I mean, it's just a different kettle of fish, really. It's hard to compare, really. We don't expect people we get the odd mosh pit on some of the more up-tempo bits, but it's pretty rare and not expected at all.
Right. No, I get that, but it's not hard engaging with the people because it's a different sort of energy level?
I don't think so, no, because for us, I mean, we're there to play. We enjoy playing. The music means a lot to us, so we can put our souls and our hearts into the performance, and hopefully we get some reciprocation from the audience. Yeah.
And I know you said that, I just lost my train of thought. I was one step ahead of you and I just forgot what I was going to say. Oh man, I'm going to have to go back and edit. It was a good one too. I don't even know. So what's next for you guys? You guys got, if I think about it, it'll pop in my head again. But so you guys got some shows coming up locally, and then you're heading over to the States in May, which is right around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, it's only 2 months away now. So we have a show next month in London with Bellwitch, supporting Bellwitch and Noll.
That's a good one.
They're an unbelievable band. And then we're in the States from May the 10th, first show in Minneapolis, Chicago, then 4 shows in Canada, then back to Portland, and carry on through the East Coast until we get to MDF, and that's the last show of the tour.
Nice. And I did remember what I was going to say. So when you're writing, I know you said you spend a lot of time with visuals. When you're writing, are you writing like with those visuals in mind already, or do those get adapted to the songs afterwards? Does that make sense?
They get adapted to the songs afterwards. So the visual kind of thing that we do use for live is generally like artwork of from different albums or artwork that we've had produced or would produce over the years that's kind of like created into a graphic video.
Okay. Sorry. That's going to bring me to the end of my questions. I don't know. Did I miss anything you want to cover?
No, I don't think so.
If fans want to find you guys, can you give us your socials and all that kind of stuff?
Yep. It's just Esoteric UK on Facebook. I think the same for Instagram. We do have Instagram and Facebook. We're not the best at social media, I have to be honest.
Too hard.
Yeah. But they exist, and we do try and keep on top of it. And we have our own website, www.esotericuk.net. And you can generally, that's pretty much up to date with merchandise we have available, live shows coming up, and all manner of audio and so on.
Awesome. So get out and see a show if you're hearing this.
Yeah, please. Yeah. That'd
be excellent. Great. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm sorry I lost my brain there for a second. No problem. I'm trying to think ahead and I just went out. Give me one. Hey, I'm glad we got to get this done. It was nice meeting you. And I'm going to try and catch you. Thank you.
Sorry for the other day with the confusion with the time difference.
Dude, it's all good. We got it done. And I'll try and catch you in Maryland.
Yeah. Okay. It'd be good to meet you. Thank you very much for your support.
Thanks, mate. Safe travels. Bye.
Thank you. Cheers.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.